Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Did you hear about the guy who shoplifted a 2021 calendar? He got 12 months. See, that's we didn't have enough dad jokes in 2020. That's why things went to hell in a handbasket.
No, I know why things went to hell in a handbasket in 2020. There was somebody out there, someone who said, well, things can't get any worse.
And 2020 said, hold my beer. And we thought 2019 sucked. But
while we are recording, tonight on Raw is Legends Night, Joe.
Yeah, I read that. I also was a little despondent that I missed The Undertaker's farewell, but I'm hoping it'll all be on WWE eventually since I still have the network.
Yeah, it was on. It was in Survivor Series. He didn't even show up on the regular TV.
Yep.
But tonight, Hulk Hogan will be on Raw, and he said, and I have to read this verbatim because it's amazing. It's a mixed bag, said Hogan when asked about the treatment he receives when he shows up at events like Raw Legends Night. Some people I get a really warm reception from. Some of the younger guys are really cold to me, like I'm coming to steal the main event. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore, guys. I'm not a threat. I'm going to address Mr. Hogan. Mr. Balea. We're friends, right? We're pals. They don't think you're coming.
Brothers.
They don't think you're coming to steal the main event. They remember what a jerk you've been throughout your entire career. They've heard stories.
Not all of them. Some of them are just listening to stories, and some of them are.
They've heard stories.
Even we knew about them at the time he was running. You know, still had real hips instead of artificial ones.
We've heard the stories of how you buried people. How you got Jesse Ventura fired. And then there's that videotape of you going on and on and on and on and on and on about you, how you didn't want your daughter dating a black guy, but you used a word that starts with
N. We don't want to use.
It starts with N and ends with your career ending. They also know that you made a ginormous amount of money and then pissed it all away and had to cry poverty. And then you had a lawsuit and made a ginormous amount of money. And now you're saying that, oh, I just got to make a living, brother. Look, dude, you've made hundreds of millions of dollars. If you can't make a living off that, you're too dumb to have money. And I think the biggest thing is, Joe, what do you do when you make a mistake?
Admit it, move on.
And?
Oh, well, apologize to if it's a type of mistake that hurts somebody.
Now, if your apology is
insincere,
gee, I'm sorry if anybody was offended.
That's
but me and my white friends back in the 50s used to call each other the N-word all the time. I'm thinking the younger guys aren't going to take that as an apology. They don't like you, and they're cold to you because you're a racist jerk who's never apologized for getting caught being a racist jerk. And now back to our show. I just thought it was funny that he says, oh, they're all scared of me, brother. No, they're not scared of you. They just think you're a genuinely terrible person.
Yeah,
and many of them have said so in public.
You didn't do what most wrestlers do, even The Undertaker, where you what's the proper tune? You elevate the next person, or you give them the rub. You pass it on your knowledge. You be the locker room leader. You didn't do that, and they remember.
Oh yeah,
you know, and plus it's just Raw. I mean, if you were showing up on a WrestleMania, they'd be like, well, yeah, maybe we like it because, you know, the more people turn in, the bigger the payday. But I don't know if how these guys get paid anymore, if they get paid extra for a Raw, if the ratings go up or.
Don't know. But I do know that Shawn Michaels and Triple H have been in charge of NXT, training a lot of the new guys. And last time, and when Hogan worked with Heartbreak Kid, Vince said, okay, Hulk, you win one, then Shawn, you win one, and then Hogan, you win one. And Hogan said, nah, brother, I will win all three.
Yeah, yep.
Do you think that maybe Shawn and Hunter might have told a couple people about that?
Boy, that sounds so clickish.
But we're here to talk about funny books.
Yeah. And well, before we do that, we're having another one of those. It's been a couple weeks moment. First of all, we have to apologize because we failed. We didn't have a fill-in episode ready. We didn't. We weren't able to get together to record a podcast. I regret the error.
As well you should.
Yep. But we also, because we haven't, we haven't gotten together in a couple of weeks. So we got to do catch up.
Oh,
and I'm
okay.
Not talking Heinz. Corey, geez, when was the last time we recorded? Well, I think it was before Christmas. How was your Christmas?
I worked.
Oh.
How about you, Joe?
I worked.
Oh. Well, how was your New Year's?
I worked. How was yours?
I did a 12-hour shift at my full-time job and then laid down on the couch and watched Godzilla movies until I fell asleep.
I did get overtime, though.
So I guess did I.
Because I got overtime. I got holiday pay on New Year's, Christmas, and Christmas Eve. So as opposed to the following pay period where I had to take a week of LWOP because I didn't have enough sick time and I had a pneumonia. So it's kind of balancing out. But of course now, well, I'll save that for freaking because we don't want to take everybody out. We want to talk about funny books. And I got to go to two comic stores and I went without you. Sorry.
How dare you?
I know one of them, well, was The Source, of course. And I'll talk more about that.
Did they have their big customer appreciation sale?
I was working.
Oh.
But I just.
So no hot dogs.
I just went in and, you know, just kind of poked around and picked up some stuff. And I actually, yesterday, though, I took a ride up to Granite City.
Ooh, that's a long hike.
Yeah. Basically, what the deal was is my wife and I, you know, my wife gets more, how would you say? Because she's working at home all the time, so she's in. So she gets a little stir-crazy, and she's like, let's go somewhere. And I'm like, well, where? I mean, most of the places we used to go, Mall of America, outlet malls, whatever, just don't hold the thrill they used to do. You know, we can't go to our favorite outstate restaurants. And it was kind of depressing because as we were traveling, you know, we would pass through all these small towns and stuff. And you know, you'd see, like, you always know a town's coming up because, you know, you're traveling 60 on the highway and all of a sudden slow down to 45. Oh, small town coming. And really, a lot of these are just some incorporated, some aren't. Corey, have you ever been to Now Then?
No.
Have you ever, do you even know where it is?
I don't even know what it is.
It's a city in Minnesota. It's in Anoka County. It's got about 4,400 people in it. And I couldn't believe it because we were driving through and there's a sign that says Now Then. And I'm like, wait, was that a real town? Well, it must be. And apparently what the history is that it used to be Burns Township, which was like 1869. And what had happened is they established a post office. And the legend goes that they were suggesting a new name for some reason because they found that there was a Burns Township post office in southern Minnesota. At the end of his letter, the person suggesting it stated, "Now then," and signed it. Not knowing that Hare often started and ended his sentence with "now then," the department thought it was a pretty good name and named Burns Township "Now Then Post Office." And so they referred to it as "Now Then." And then they filed a petition in 2007 requesting the incorporation of Burns Township to the city of Now Then. Now Then, that's our story. So I can officially say I've been through Now Then, Minnesota. Now Then, what we decided to do is just, I made the suggestion, well, you know, Tim ordered some comics for me. Why don't we just take a ride up and see what we, and of course, that met immediately with a very severe eye roll. However, I did suggest, you know, then we could from there take Highway 23 up to Hinckley, grab something to eat and drive home. So we did that. We went up 94. It's only about an hour away. We got there. I did call ahead to make sure they had the comics. The two comics I was looking for, and I did not see them anywhere in the cities, were the couple of reprints of Savage Dragon, the Good Grief Savage Dragon 252. That's the one. This is the third print. And what he had done, the reason why I went so crazy is Eric Larson, just for fun, reimagined all his characters and drew in classic comic strip fashion, like Peanuts. I'm just going to take this thing out of the bag. It's not mint. And I've talked about this before. He did one Drumpf Bunker, where he drew in Doonesbury style. And there's Running Bear by Eric J. Larson. So it's actually Dick Tasty. So he did a really, really good job of aping everybody's style. And it was just such a cool issue. It sold out and he had his third printing on it. The other one was Savage Dragon number 253, where he did a congratulations to President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris on their historic victory, which he had done a previous cover where the Savage Dragon was endorsing them. And then, you know, he doesn't do it too often. I think the last time he did it was probably Obama. Jeez, I wonder who he sides with. Anyways. Nobody in town had these, so I just called. I even tried, you know, getting them online, and I thought, you know what, rather than do that, I'll just call my friendly local neighborhood comic store and see if he just would order them for me. And I honestly didn't think I'd pick them up till Free Comic Book Day, but then they keep pushing Free Comic Book Day back to
August 14th.
Yep. So that's that was that. And anyways, I went up and Chris stayed in the car and I went inside and I looked around. He's got a whole plethora of stuff for sale. Just amazing. I picked up a copy of Hellblazer 27. Corey, tell the folks why Hellblazer 27 is so special.
Let's see. Hellblazer 27. Is that the one by... It's either Garth Ennis or Neil Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman.
Ah,
yep. Neil Gaiman, Dave McKean did a one shot and I have it. Mine was actually signed because you and I had it signed back when we Neil was at Dreamhaven. And, you know, you could actually walk up to Neil and talk to him. And now it's like, it's Neil Gaiman. And you're lucky if you can even get close to him. Not because he's not friendly, but because he's usually mobbed.
And, you know, the big guards.
Yeah. I did. Even Tim gave me a deal on Amazing Adult Fantasy Omnibus.
Ooh, I have the first printing of that.
I don't know what this is. I
think that was the second omnibus I bought.
Then this must be a second print.
Yeah.
Not that it matters. I mean,
recently did a second printing.
There is no way in God's green earth I'm ever, and I mean ever, going to be able to afford any of these issues that they reprinted. Because they started with Amazing Adventures 1, and then, of course, they put the adult on the cover at number 8. And then, of course, something happened in 15. I don't know what. Probably, never. It wasn't important. So.
Okay, Joe, who was the big character introduced in Amazing Adult Fantasy? I'm sorry, in Amazing Fantasy.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Adult was at 7. That's when it's first.
Oh, okay.
Was it Manu? Could it have been Monstro Russo? No. How about Serpo?
No.
Sinister creatures walking in human form?
No, this is a character who got a miniseries written by Warren Ellis.
Oh, Krills.
No.
I don't know. I haven't opened this thing yet.
Dr. Droom.
Droom.
Who became Dr. Druid.
Yeah. Yeah, changed his name.
Which was the first attempt at doing a Doctor Strange type character. And it did not sell.
Speaking of not selling, that's one of the reasons why Tim gave me a deal on this, because he had gotten a call from a good customer in town and said, you know, I can't find anybody that will order this for me. And so Tim ordered it for him. Unfortunately, the customer passed away.
Oh.
So Tim just put it on the shelf. I did have a good talk with Tim, because he says they don't carry omnibuses regularly because they're usually so discounted on eBay, they're not worth it.
Yeah.
And as we talked about it, they're not even an investment thing because Marvel will sooner or later reprint them.
Not all of them, though.
Yeah, probably never the Secret Wars 2.
Well, there's one that people are clamoring for a reprint that hasn't been reprinted in a while. And let me pull up the current cost here. So, let's see. X-Men.
Oh, Volume 1.
Omnibus.
People were talking about that online. It's due. Why aren't they going to do it? It's like, well, maybe they're waiting for the inevitable X-Men movie.
Or, yeah, maybe they just... I personally think that it's probably because the early X-Men stuff, not really a lot of demand for it.
Yeah.
A lot of the reprints are when the dealers will say, hey, I'm getting a lot of requests for this. But if you go to the Amazon, they have used copies at $700 each.
Well, that's a deal.
It's been out of print for 11 years. It reprints X-Men 1 through 31. And I wondered if there is a second one. X-Men Volume 2. I don't think they did a second volume. Oh, they did. So Volume 2, Omnibus. Oh, that one's dirt cheap. It's going for $300.
Oh, well, you could buy two of those as opposed to the one number one. I got a – Tim did cost us
– X-Men 32 through 66, so it takes it all the way up to the end of the series.
Tim did cost this out to me, which I thought was nice. And I was trying to – I said I was going to buy it, but I wanted to double-check, make sure I didn't have it. I should have just figured it out. And then – when Chris came in the store after, I was only there a half hour, and then she came in. I've been waiting, and it's like, well, I'm at the cash register. Honest. She just had to come and use the bathroom. And
she didn't go over to the used bookstore.
Closed. Oh. Remember, it's Sunday.
Oh, I didn't know you went on.
Yeah. Yep. And anyways, he just said, yeah, they don't carry the omnibuy and things like that. I do have a humorous story about the toilet. But when Chris came out, they said, how'd you like that toilet seat? She said, oh, it's really nice. Privately, she said, the rest of the bathroom looks like a bachelor pad. But apparently a customer had come in shortly before Christmas with a box in his hand and headed back to the asked if he could use the bathroom, went back to the bathroom, came back a little bit later, didn't have the box in his hand. And then they found out later, he apparently went back, took away the broken toilet seat and installed that nice cushy. Yes, see for him. I'm like, yeah, that would have been worth an extra discount at my shop. So that was kind of cool. I mention
one time when I cleaned your bathroom because people were coming there that you wanted to impress and you had not had time to clean it. And
I should mention my bathroom was not a public bathroom.
No.
So only people went back. There were people, you know, like that I let go back there.
And that's an hour and a half of my life I'll never get back. But it did start me down the path of evil.
Yes. And now Corey has a bunch of men together. He, of course, is the cleaner, and he calls his men the semen. Up at Granite City Comics.
What does the C stand for?
From now till Sunday, January 31st, they are doing 20% off nearly everything store-wide. Obviously not counting, you know, new comics. Tim says, Brandon complains he has nothing to do, so let's make some work for him and clear out some space. 5 to 10 books, 30% off. 11 to 30, get 40. 31 to 75, 50. If you crack that 76 barrier, get 60% off. I spent a lot of time looking at stuff. I was marveling at some of the Golden Age, Silver Age they had up there, which was always incredible. We talked quite a bit about stuff, you know, eBay things. I asked him about how Future Quest was going. He told me one thing that a detail that we didn't know about because we're not retailers. DC was going to make it or is making it returnable. So he didn't go crazy on it. He said he maybe went 10 to 15 above what people pre-ordered. And then he ordered enough to make sure he could get the variants. I don't know if that was for the shop or for himself. He just kind of gave me one of those smirks. You know, we talked about it because, you know, I said, it looks like DC is going to be mining this future event for future comics. Some have gotten a lot of heat beforehand. I mean, Tim Drake is Batman. People are interested in the Wonder Woman. So they might just be waiting to see what sales are coming out of this and what gets returned or whatever. And if somebody's got an interesting story to tell with these characters, they'll keep going. It's like I said, I'm totally divorced of it. But if you are interested and you got the money, pick up one or two of these and put them with your Convergence, your 52, your Countdown. But the fact that they are returning it is heartening. Tim was a little hesitant about because he wasn't quite sure. Who was it, Luna? Is that the out branch of that is doing all the distributing for DC? Or I forget the name.
Yeah, Lunar.
Lunar. He wasn't quite sure how that works because he has yet to return anything to them. So, and, you know, with Diamond, it was like, well, Diamond deals with it, but the credit comes directly from DC. So, you know, it's kind of like it's something new. And I imagine we'll ask him later how it returned, and more importantly, how it's sold. So keep an eye on those eBays, folks, because there may be some gold or not in all of them. So that was fun. And like on the way home, we were thinking going to Hinckley, but it was such a nice day. We thought, you know what, let's just angle our way south. So we put in the Google Maps, and it directed us as we head back home. And eventually we'd get to places like, you know what, if we take this road south, because we knew we're only like 50 miles north of the Twin Cities. So just keep heading south and north or whatever, and we found our way home. On the way, we had Sirius Radio playing. They had countdowns going on everything.
Yep, they did. It was... This was a fun weekend on Sirius.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of countdowns. One of the things, and the channel that I like the best, the Underground Garage.
Oh, yeah.
They played all 52 of the greatest song in the world this week. And they also, because people voted on what one they liked, they did it as a countdown. But I actually have put together all of those songs in a Spotify playlist, as well as some other stuff they had that was either new this year or I first heard it this year. And I do that every year. It's like, okay, I'm going to go through whatever they say is the coolest song in the world this week, add it to a playlist so that every year I've got that whole list on Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah. We listened on New Year's Day. We listened to the Beatles. We listened, they had like the first half of the Beatles, pre-Sgt. Pepper, top 79, and that's, you know, we're old. We just sat indoors and listened to the countdown. We'd ordered a pizza. We drank a little bit, not a lot. And then when they got to the next batch from Sgt. Pepper forward, they're getting into some really weird crap that I probably listened to once when I got the White Album or whatever, and never listened to again because I never needed to. And then we just
number
crashed.
Number nine.
Oh, I loved playing that, especially in the morning show, because that would freak people out. We'd get calls like, what the hell is that? When we were driving, we put it on the 80s station, because they were just repeating the same countdowns. And we just, I mean, that was a blast because that was like the top 300. And those are like memory, little brain cells reactivating. Like, I haven't heard this song since 1985. So that was a lot of fun to do. And eventually we stopped by my folks' house, visited with them for a while, and then just found our way home. So we just kind of did a drive about on Sunday. But I got my comics.
Cool. What I did, you know, when I woke up, I saw that Amazon was having a sale. All the Marvel Masterworks digitally. 99 cents for the first volume, $1.99 for all subsequent volumes. And they have done this sort of thing before where, you know, they'll pick something digitally and have a huge sale. Like, I think like 3-4 months ago, they had Black Panther where they literally gave away all of the Black Panther series digitally for free. All of them. For the Masterworks, 99 cent for the first volume, $1.99 for all subsequent volumes. I went in and picked up all of the Atlas Age stuff digitally, even the ones I already had, because first off, a lot of the ones I already have, I still would like to have where I could read it digitally, like the Atlas Heroes stuff. But Strange Tales, Journey into Mystery, Tales to Astonish, Tales of Suspense, those came out when I was between good paying jobs. So I've been able to pick them up when they're on, you know, discount places, but for the most part, it's, oh, I could get them all. Cool. I now have all of the Atlas Masterworks, and pretty much can guarantee there will be no more Atlas or Golden Age Masterworks.
See, now, that's something interesting, because I went and I looked at that too, but I'm not a digital aficionado like you are, mostly because I ain't going to have time to read my actual physical copies. If I start amassing digital ones, there's no reason for me to do that. Oh, it's nice to know if I want to, I can get them for a buck. But that's
kind
of interesting.
Well, I think the sale is just about over, and they'll have some other sale coming up. Usually, well,
they yeah, they'll have. If they don't, Comicology will, or somebody else will. You know, so there's always something going on. But that brought an interesting comment to light that you had made. You know, how do you get cheap comics or books to read?
Well, there were a number of places on the internet. And the ones that I always go to first, you know, we order our stuff from Discount Comic Book Service. They have a service called In Stock Trades. They've also bought up the thing from Another World that used to be kind of connected to Dark Horse. Not really, but maybe. But if it was done, it was through Shell Corporation sort of thing. So while the discount through In-Stock Trades isn't as much as the discount from Discount Comic Book Service, let's say you miss something, you can go over to In-Stock Trades or Thing from Another World, and they'll have it for if you pre-order, it's 50%, they have it for 40%. If you pre-order and it's 35% off, it's 25% off, that sort of thing. There's also a webpage called cheapgraphicnovels.com. They have kind of the same thing, except they don't really push the pre-orders, but their bargain section is amazing. And their Black Friday sales, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, this omnibus is out of print, so it's $120. This one, we were able to get a whole bunch from Diamond, so we're selling them $20 each, sort of thing. And those are the two places I go to first. Then I check eBay and Amazon. And Joe could talk more about Amazon, how to score cheap stuff.
Actually,
on
Actually, less Amazon, more eBay, because I rarely go to Amazon unless it's something like you're guiding me there. Like you say, hey, they got this there. And as I said, I don't buy digitally. What I do, and this is something Corey has seen me do numerous times, is I hit those cheap bins and I just dig up whatever the hell I can find. And for example, I mentioned the Source earlier. I'd stopped at the Source and I was there to pick up a couple specific issues, but most comic stores have a discount section and just avail yourself of it. You never know what you'll find. Like I've got a couple things here. Like I've got James Brightman's Frayed Ones. It's 4 issues. I don't know what it's about. Matter of fact, I'm going to power up atomicavenue.com and I'm just going to put it in and see if it actually gives me a description. But let's see. It says emotionally fragile Paul is having trouble coping with being dumped by his girlfriend. Yes, it's another self-published book about a young guy's relationship troubles, but it stands apart for many reasons. It doesn't take the whiny self-pity route to the degree many of its peers have. You know how much I paid for this, Corey? For all 4 issues, complete set?
How much?
$1.
Because they were
the Source
at
the back of the store. No, they have what they do is they bundle a bunch of their stuff together, and they have it all for $1. And it lets me run in. I mean, this book came out, 2003, and it just didn't catch my attention when it came out. But where did they get this? I don't know. Could it be collections? Could be sitting in their massive back stock. I picked up 1 and 2 of Fractured Kisses, Moon Nation Anthology. It's a 4-issue run. Will I pick the other 2 up if I ever find them? I've never read it before. I'll give it a try. The Source also does things which I like. They had a book called The Vein. And I don't know if you're buying that, Corey. It's from Omni Press. But what was nice about it is it's a local creator. And they had all 3 issues. I don't know if any more are coming. I'll have to keep an eye on the previews. And they have it basically, hey, this is a local creator. Well, yeah, I'm buying a local comic store. I'm buying local stuff. I might as well give it a shot. I haven't read it yet, but you know we'll talk about it in future episodes. I'm just looking at my pile of to-be-read here. I picked up Man in the Iron Mask hardcover, the Marvel one, $5.
Probably Laurel, by Roy Thomas, right?
Alexander Dumas.
He wrote the original.
Yeah, so I don't know. Let's see who done it, because this is the hardcover one. And it's from the 1 through 4 series that came out from Marvel. I don't have it open. I can't look at the copyright date. No, you're right. There it is. Roy Thomas. Award-winning Roy Thomas with Tom Palmer. I got for $1 from a different comic store, Remix up in Forest Lake, Laura K. Hamilton's Anita Blake. Vampire Hunter, Guilty Pleasures, Volume 1. I totally did not buy into the Vampire Hunter when it was being published, but I'm looking at it like, I'll give this one a read. I've picked up from him Spider-Man Red Sonja, The Girl Who Played with Fire, which I think is a Vertigo. But yeah, so many things for me, because I'm more of a physical guy. I want to hold the physical comic in my hand, because if I don't like it, I can eBay it, you know. But Corey has seen me, you know, especially when we're geeking on like Free Comic Book Day or Black Friday or whatever, I get to those bins and I just rip through them. Almost every comic store we've been to, at least in the Twin Cities, has those discount bins. You know, Hot Comics, Mind's Eye, The Source, you know. And of course, Nostalgia Zone, they're closed for COVID. They're still doing pickup, and they're doing a lot of discounting on their in-stock stuff because they're still getting stock in. They're just not – their store is so closed, they're just not going to open up till the COVID stuff is done. They don't have to. They just are doing that. And so for me, to find anything cheap, I always say just start at your local comic book store. And I'm not fussy with what I'll buy. I mean, yeah, I'd love to find a copy of Action 1 cheap, which I did. I found the Loot Crate one for $5. But, you know, I'm just looking for something new, because anything that I'm collecting, I've already got, I've already had, and I've sold, or I have it in my essentials, or I don't have the DC version, but I have Marvel Unlimited. So if I want to go read John Byrne's run of Namor, I can do that if I want. Or like, what was the one you mentioned earlier? Somebody, who'd you say did a Dr. Droom miniseries?
Oh, that was Warren Ellis.
So I can go look that up online.
It was called Druid.
Druid. So yeah, I can check that out online if I want. So yeah, definitely. We've already given you three things. The eBay one that Corey mentioned, of course, I've always mentioned let's do it now. Let's, I don't know. Give me a book you're looking for, Corey.
Okay. The Yellow Claw Black Knight Masterwork.
Yellow Claw Black Knight.
Yep. They were in one book.
All right. I'm just going to put Yellow Claw Black Knight. And okay. So it says I got 9 results. Now up in the corner, you'll see where it says best match. There's a bunch of squares that you can classify or filter. And on the phone, it's actually under filter. And then you just go price plus shipping lowest first. That Masterworks will run you at least $128.24. Free shipping, and this guy's doing it 5% off.
Oh, well, 5% off.
Yeah, well. I don't see it. Well, here's one guy who's got it for $185, and he's got best offer on it. So send him $125 or maybe $100. You know, they don't have to say yes. What I do personally on my eBay thing, and you guys know this because I always mention it, you can jump on that and send me a note saying, hey, Joe, I see you've got that sealed Masterwork Black Knight Yellow Claw for $2,354. What kind of deal will you give me? Oh, and by the way, I love listening to the show. Aha! I can send you a best offer right directly to you that nobody else gets. So that's how eBay works. I'm not sure. How does Amazon do the same thing? Do they have a similar search feature?
What it is, Amazon, you can search for Amazon. So I'm going to go ahead and put in Yellow Claw. And let's see. There we go. Atlas Era, Black Knight, Yellow Claw Masterwork. It's going to show me the Kindle because that's in stock and you can buy it from Amazon. But they also have a See All Formats in addition. So you click on that. And currently they are out when it comes to the printed version. But if you do look for the hardcover, let's pick another one that they would have a hardcover for. There we go. All right. So Atlas Era Heroes, Volume 1. It'll list the Kindle price, which now has gone back up to $16.99. Hardcover is $69.99. So they still have some in stock from their initial stock. Underneath that, you'll see used, new, and collectible. So under used, you see $35, new $49.98, and collectible $45. And if you click on the used, you get a thing on the side that shows, okay, here are the places that are selling it. Usually, a lot of these are being sold by like Half Price Books or other used book chains or comic shops. They're just putting their copies up to sell. And you could tell the great big chains like Half Price Books because they have kind of standard verbiage. But here's one here. It says, this book has been read but is in excellent condition. Pages are intact. Spine remains undamaged. Would classify as very good to fine. So this is a person who knows comics. Gives the information for it. Let's see. Here's another one. First printing, read only once, placed in a poly bag and stored on a comic book box, not a shelf, no wear and tear to the cover. And then this one is from Titan Comics, which is a comic shop. This hardcover book and dust jacket are in like new condition with light shelf wear. We've been in business at our brick and mortar store for more than 30 years, been selling online for 23 years. Buy with confidence, Titan Comics. So you could do a lot of your shopping that way. One of my favorite places to buy used books was a site called half.com, which was then bought up by eBay. eBay tried to close it in the 2000s, and there was just too much outcry from the sellers. So they waited 10 years and were able to close it then. But it had its own search function. People would basically list used books. There were a lot of textbooks on that site. So whenever I had a friend who was, oh, I went to the bookstore and the textbook for, you know, one of my classes is $300. You could go to half.com. Usually they would have it cheaper because people would go, I could sell it back to the college bookstore and get pennies on the dollar, or I could just put it up on half.com, undercut the used price at the college bookstore, and people probably buy it. So sadly, that site is gone. There are also tricks on eBay. Joe's talked about them in the past where you kind of misspell something. And sometimes that will lead you to a cheaper version that people haven't found because it's misspelled. And the seller's like, why hasn't anybody bought this yet? There's also a site called Abe Books. And let me pull it up here. Abe Books, A-B-E-B-O-O-K-S. It is another used book selling used book website. And a lot of used bookstores use this. Not your big chains like Half Price Book and Magazine, but your local used bookstore, the one in your town or neighborhood or whatever. They will list stuff on here. You won't find as many comics, and the web search isn't as great. But they do have a lot of used books. So if you're just looking for stuff to read, like I am, this is a good site, especially if it's, okay, this came out, it's a little obscure, or this came out and was sold in bookstores. It's how I picked up the Life in Hell books, because I remember when I left Shinders, it felt like years between new volumes. And you know, a few years ago, I went, you know, I ought to fill in my collection on those. I was able to go to Abe Books and pick them up for $1 each because nobody remembers that Life in Hell is by Matt Groening, who created The Simpsons. Joe?
Yeah. No, that's another thing I like to do, too, even at what's the only chain we got left up here?
Barnes and Noble and yeah. Half Price Book and Magazine.
Yeah. Well, Half Price usually has their stuff cheap. Not all the time. I think sometimes they're forgetting the half price in their thing, but, you know, they have it. You can go online, check their half price as well, like Corey mentioned. But locally, we got Barnes and Noble, and they always have three or four areas of discounted books. And I like to browse through them. I think, didn't we see... They did a book on Marvel mini comics.
Yes.
The ones used to get in the gumball machines.
Yep, that's a weird one because it was on the remainder table. And what it is, remainders are the books, usually it's hardcovers, that didn't sell.
Or did sell, and they printed too many of them.
They were sitting in the warehouse.
Yeah.
And it's okay, we're just going to dump them. There are more, however, and I learned this at Shinders. There are some books that are actually made for the, quote, remainder tables, unquote. They're usually coffee table books or photography books that their real price is $20, but they'll put on the cover that it's $50 or $75 so that people think it's a bargain, but they were never sold at that original price. And what happened with that Marvel mini books is before it was shipped out to comic shops, before it was even on bookshelves, Barnes & Noble had it in the remainder section. And if you follow Mark Evanier's website, he wrote the introduction for it. It has never been at full price on Amazon and has been dropping, then going up and then dropping. So like when he initially said, oh, it's available on Amazon, he listed the price. And then the price would drop like every day or a couple times a day. And then it would go up. And he put together, you know, a post about it. It's like, okay, it's $9.42. Up, now it's $9.13. Up, it's back up to $13.62 sort of thing. So a lot of the stuff when you go to Barnes & Noble, it was never really sold at full price. I know a few years ago when Marvel was doing their big dump of, you know, they printed all these hardcovers for everything and they didn't sell as well as they thought they would. And you remember going to conventions, there would be dealers with just long boxes full of these hardcovers. And Barnes & Noble, you'd go there and they'd have the big stacks of the hardcovers too. And I imagine that those are still available on used bookstore sites or, you know, your local comic shop, depending. That's kind of what Steve Brown, man of renown, man about town, man who's always got a frown. He trolls those and has connections to the remainder booksellers because of his time at Schindler's.
Old library sales are sometimes a good place. You're not going to get anything in collectible shape, but when they decide to purge a book, they'll run, usually publicly, they'll say, hey, we're doing a library sale. When we did the St. Cloud Con last year, there was a used area where they were selling all their books that they had withdrawn from circulation. And I know I came back with a pile, and you went in and came back with a big pile of stuff. And again,
and they had stuff I'd never seen. Those Doc Savage art covers, which I later found out, those were kind of licensed to a book company because they thought the Doc Savage movie would be much bigger than it was. And when it didn't do that well, it's okay. Well, we tried. But I'm amazed that the library had them because those books came out in 75. So they were literally in that library or in someone's collection that was given to the library for 35 years. No, 45. 45 years.
Ugh. Oh, wow.
Ugh. I don't even like to think about it.
And of course, if you're really, really cheap, look at the free libraries that are about town. I know at least in our area, there are a lot of places. I mean, I drive up and down the streets. There's free libraries. Take a book, leave a book. Sometimes they're registered. I don't know if you can go and see if they're any close by. But that's always a place to try. Or you could just do like some of my friends at work do that just don't have the money. Just get it from the library. If you really, really like it, you can go out and buy it or just redo it. So, you know, you got those resources you can always do. So you don't have to really spend, you know, Corey and I, we spend a lot of money on comics and we enjoy what we're spending, but you don't got to be a hardworking, I don't know, I was going to try to compliment us, but it's dying on the vine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, you know what I'm saying? You could try it. That's how I read Ms. Marvel. That's how I read Black Panther. And I enjoyable. But, you know, when we always review our books, buy, borrow, ignore. For me, those are always borrows.
Yeah.
But boy, if I had a daughter at that age, they'd be buys right away.
And one other thing, you know, Joe doesn't like digital. I love it.
I just haven't found the right device to go digital. And the big thing, like I said at the beginning, because I have. Well, in my last computer that died, it took all my Comicsology stuff with it.
No, it's still on Comicsology.
I know, but Oh, I had it for 3 years and never looked at any of it.
Oh, okay.
And that was my point, is that I mean, if you could see where I'm sitting right now in the basement, I would say I'm not far off if I say I have about 1,000 to 2,000 books, comics, DVDs, and CDs around me. And that's just my little section. If I go out in the other section, which is now gridlocked with comics, and not to mention upstairs, and what did I do? I just went out and bought Amazing Adult Fantasy Omnibus. Just so I can. I'll probably read it and go, ugh. But
I had someone ask me over the weekend, you know, they've got a tablet and they wanted to start reading comics. And I said, well, Marvel Unlimited, they were having a sale. They have sales every so often, usually when South by Southwest is going on, when the San Diego Comic-Con's going on, when the New York Comic-Con's going on. You watch, they have sales where you could get, you know, the whole year cheaper than it currently is. But it's still at $79.99 a year. You get access to all of it, and they recently updated, so they're only running 3 months back. We've got the End of Empire on Marvel Unlimited, and it used to be 6 months. DC Universe just has moved all of the video over to HBO Max, so it's just a comic service now. Theirs isn't as rigid as Marvel's, where if it came out 3 months ago this week, it's released digitally. They're more, you know, the more popular stuff gets up faster, but they have a whole bunch of stuff as well. And then there's Comixology Unlimited. It has Marvel, DC, and a lot of indie stuff, including tons of Image that you can read. And they're all, you know, you pay an annual fee and you get access to it, or you can pay it via monthly. And then there is another one that I use that is free.
Sounds kind of expensive.
Graphite Comics. And it's a app on your tablet. They do have a premium section, but they do have tons and tons of free stuff. And the way they pay for it is they have little ads at the bottom of the page. So you want to read Top Cow's Witchblade? It's there. You want to read The Boys? It's there. You want to read, let's see. Let's just take a look. Tons of manga, by the way. Enormous amounts of manga. Let's see. We've got Halo. We've got... I'm just looking at the stuff they have here. Let's see. Leading Ladies, Gold Digger, which has been going on forever and ever and ever and ever over at, let's see.
Antarctic, isn't it?
Antarctic. No. Let's see. Boy, lots and lots of Golden Age classics. They have a whole bunch of the public domain stuff that I've talked about, such as Captain Marvel Jr., Captain Marvel, Hoppy the Marvel Bunny. You know, you want to read that. See, going down to Gamers World, they've got the Pathfinder books. They have a lot of stuff from Dynamite, a lot of stuff from Boom, almost the entire back runs of a lot of Antarctic Press stuff. My phone is talking to me.
I was going
to
say, you woke somebody up.
Let's see. So, wow. I'm just looking through, and it's immense amounts of manga here. More manga than you can ever read in your whole life. And that one's free. I actually went and I got, you know, I had a regular size tablet. And then when I paid it off, you know, the phone company, once you pay something off, they really want you to buy a new one. Really?
Really, really?
So I went in and I said, what is the largest size tablet you have? And it's, you know, it was much bigger. And the thing about tablets are, they're the exact same dimensions as a comic book. You can make the panels bigger. You can read stuff panel to panel. I recently, Doomsday Clock was on DC Universe, and I read the whole thing on that. I would look at the page, but then read it panel to panel so I could get all of the detail. Just an excellent way to read it. Didn't have to pay more than I paid for DC Universe. But the other thing that I'm reading on DC Universe, there's no way I can afford 70s Batman comics just to read them. But boy, they got them from the Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams stuff all the way up. Why? Batman's their most popular character, so there you go. They're going to have enormous amounts of Batman on there. And then, like Joe said, going to comic shops, I don't have the patience to dig through quarter bins or dollar bins anymore if they're not alphabetical. I just don't have the patience for it anymore. Here's 40 boxes in absolutely no order. Good luck.
I've got to be in the right mood to do that.
Yeah.
I rarely am.
So much 90s cheese.
Yeah.
And Joe, why did the people at Schindler's call stuff like that cheese?
I don't know.
Because the mice would eat it.
Ah, that's how long it would sit.
Yeah. And that's where I got that term. So much cheese. You know, if you ever want to read all the Triangle Superman books to the 90s, just go to your local comic shop and dig in their quarter bins and they'll be there.
Yeah.
But
we haven't mentioned
shops are putting together bundles, which will have complete story arcs or complete series, usually discounted because they just want to get them out of there.
That's like the stuff I started out talking about from the source. They got probably 2-3 long boxes. It's just a buck. I figure for a buck, I've done worse on purpose. So, you know, might as well give it a try. And of course, the one thing we didn't mention because there haven't been any comic conventions. Hopefully something's gearing up for 2021. We're just waiting to see. But if you got a Comic-Con coming about or a garage sale, there's been a couple guys in town. They run it out of their own garages, or they run it out of their own living room. I think one guy rented what was a dance studio that obviously it wasn't being used as a dance studio. And I know earlier last year I went and checked it out. So keep your eyes open for that. And of course we'll mention them when anything comes around. Or like I said, run up to Granite City. You got till January 31st, 20% off. Check their online store. Give them a call. They love want lists.
And another thing you can do, on Facebook, there are tons of groups for collectors and people buying stuff. The Omnibus group, I've bought quite a few omnibuses of people who, yeah, I had this, I read it, probably never going to read it again. Just want to get rid of it. It's, you know, too much space. Cool. You mean this omnibus that I skipped because I didn't have money 4 years ago, I could pick up now for half cover price? Sure, I'm on that. There are two types of collectors in this world. I think there are people who want the near mint for investment purposes. And then there are people like Joe and I, we just want to read it. We want to read it. And this is more of a show for the people who just want to read it. But Joe, I think maybe in a few weeks we should do a show about investing in comics.
Well, I've already given you one. You know, if you got the money, get those future quests and sit on them because you never know. I mean, even was it 52 had the first appearance of Batwoman? Or was that Countdown?
I don't remember.
Well, let's fire. Well, as long as we got our Craze 5000s and the Strotron 2020. Did you update that 2021?
Yes.
All right. First,
it updated automatically at midnight because I still have the sticker that says to update at midnight. You know, turn your computer off at 11:59 on December 31st, 1999. Now, did you have
seventh
people
week
warning
of
you?
The Batwoman was introduced 2006, seventh week of the publisher's year-long 52.
Oh, okay.
Now, I also want to mention there was a character that briefly made a cameo in the Wonder Woman movie that appeared in Wonder Woman's, was it her 75th anniversary special that DC published a few months ago?
750th issue.
It said on online it was the 75th anniversary. So if that's it, there's your, if this character becomes something, be it comic book or otherwise, that's her first appearance. We talked about Johnny Thunder appearing in the Walmart Batman. Was it number 4 or 5? The 100 pager?
Oh, yeah. The Ginny Hex story.
Ginny Hex. Yeah, thank you. You think that's a big deal? Well, go look up the first appearance of Tim Fox, the guy who's going to be the future Batman coming up in Future Quest. Batman 313, $200-$300. $200 if you're lucky. So, yeah, again, these are just minor characters from decades ago or months ago that nobody cares about. Well, you know, when I put aside this book called Razor Annual that had this weird character, Shy? She, S-H-I? Well, I bet I wish I had a few of those lying around now, didn't I?
And you know who else wishes they had some stuff lying around?
Oh, let's see. Well, not comic stores. I know they're trying to move their stuff lying around. I should know this one. Give me a hint.
It's these guys, our sponsors. Believe it or not, kids, this here podcast has sponsors. And that sponsor, since day one, is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. And if you need a website, head on over to DreamHost.com, put in code CRAZY, that's K-R-A-Y-Z, and get $20 off your first year. Now, if you would like to advertise here on any of the Solitaire Rose Network podcast, you can just email me at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Also, head on over to eBay and look for user Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, that's Joe Crazy Writer, who's always telling us about the eBay in every episode of Crazy Comics and Stories. If you would like to contact us, you can do so. You can give us a call at 952-856-0519. Leave a message and we'll play it on the show. Or you can send us an email at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks.
Oh, I should have known.
And I do all kinds of podcasts. Matter of fact, somebody recently put up one of those memes about, you know, if you got blah, 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 what would you do? And it was one of those, well, if you got $2,000 a month, what would you do? And, you know, the answer underneath was not a whole lot. My answer was, I don't know, 2-3 podcasts a week. But because I have to work, I'm not doing as many. But I still do a lot like these. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is currently on a pause. Basically because COVID-19 has made it so that I have to work a lot of extra hours at both jobs. But you can still go and listen to my other podcasts. Now, you're probably listening to Crazy Comics and Stories, which is the main podcast. But on this same feed, K-R-A-Y-Z-C-O-M-I-X, is Solitaire Rose Radio, the solo radio podcast that I do. I've done interviews, I've done short stories, I've done all sorts of things, and you can get to it right here on this same feed. I also do a podcast called Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's over at novels.solitairerose.com. Dangerous Dan Moore and I, and of course Wolfie B. Bad, give you bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. You send in your questions, and we give you the aforementioned bad advice. And then myself and Adam Vermillion from For the Love of Comics do the Fantastic Forecast at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com, where we go through the issues of the Fantastic Four, 4 issues at a time, to give the plot and commentary on each issue. That's not all. Yes, I'm crazy. I still, over at PWInsiderElite.com, every week on Wednesday, do a recap of the latest episode of AEW Dynamite. I write up what happened, and then myself and Anthony Pyrus will do an audio. Now, you can only listen to the audio if you're a member at PWInsiderElite.com, and if you're a wrestling fan, you should be. where we then break down the episode, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, give it a grade, and let you know if you should have watched that episode. Those are the other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network. Thanks. And now we get to Joe's favorite part of the show.
Aha, where we try different consistencies of Kool-Aid to see which one tastes the best.
That wasn't it.
They all taste the same.
Yeah, they pretty much.
No, it's Joe. What's going on the eBays?
Lots. There's been a lot of things. Now that I've got myself back online and I'm actually putting stuff online on a regular basis, I'll take a quick look at some of the things. Variant covers are going fairly well. I mean, and you know me, I'm trying to, again, talking cheap. I'm trying to get the cheapest price out there. Sold a Ghostbuster Infestation number 2 variant cover. Infestation was a IDW line cross, not really a crossover, but basically zombies invaded everybody's universe. And it just seemed good for Ghostbusters because it just seemed right up their alley. Let's see, a Nomura number 1 variant cover from 2010. They did a bunch of one-shots, Women of Marvel. Some variant covers from Dynamic Forces, a Secret Wars from back 2015. I had a Danger Girl preview way back from 1997, the American Entertainment Edition variant cover, which was cool. I had an Amazing Spider-Man number 1 Dynamic Forces variant from 2015. A couple non-variants. I'd sold a Wolverine number 1 volume 6 from 2014. Not expensive, only about $7. A couple non-comic things. If you remember Marvel Master Prints, it's where they took the artwork from the trading cards and blew it up into a nice, was it like an 8x6 print, I think? And they were, 10x6. And this one happened to be a Phoenix and Wolverine by Ian Churchill from 2001. Yeah, I've seen poses like that on porn sites. Oh, well, anyways, that was back when I think Innes was writing it. So it may be rather argulent embrace. I also had a She-Hulk Gen 13 Fairchild Chrome trading card from 97 from Wizard. Didn't go for a lot, only about $5. You know, we were talking about books that invest. I've been picking these up as I find them and selling them on eBay, but the Galactica Daughter of Galactus one shot still seems to have a pretty good demand on it. I mean, I only sold mine for about $24, but you know, I bought it cheap, sell it cheap. And I will give a shout out, someone who goes under Lanny Kinsey on eBay bought a Mars Attacks mini comic number 2 from 1998. Mars Attacks, we all know, or we should know, was that the 50s or 60s when that line came out?
Mars Attacks, the cards, were late 50s, early 60s.
Okay. And it kind of went on the whole science fiction, Mars invading thing, and they were very graphic and a little controversial because the kiddies were buying them.
A little?
Okay, a lot. However, what they did in 98 is they were going to make a mini comic where they took the card and they would do a mini comic for each one. The first batch was 1 and 2. The second batch was 3 and 4. They also printed the line. So when you go to buy it, make sure you're not buying. I mean, the originals are pricey. And obviously, they're still pretty fondly remembered because I think Red Sonja's fighting Mars Attacks currently in Dynamite Comics.
Yes.
Anyways, Lane says, hey, Joel, I'm happy you aren't on Hip Watch this year. I'm still enjoying the Crazy Comics and Stories podcast. Tell Corey, hey, take care and happy New Year.
Hey.
And Lane just bought right for me and sent me a nice note, which we love. We love getting emails or feedback from you folks. So lonely here in the basement. Oh, well, I got my...
We still don't have our Wikipedia page.
Yes, yes. But that was a Festivus grievance, and we don't have to do that for another, I don't know,
oh,
11
no.
months?
I don't know.
Yeah, Corey just has a notebook. He fills up festival grievances. So, but you know what you can do on the eBays? If you see something you like, send me a note. Well, if you buy it, I love you. And Lane, I just tossed in a little extra special something. I don't want to say what it was. Remind me, Corey. Actually, it was I'll say I sent it medium mail. So I don't know how fast it'll get to him. I don't want to spoil the surprise. So ask me next week what it was, Corey. And if we remember, we got so many things we forget over the week. And but you, of course, I'm adding stuff all the time. I've got a whole batch right here I'm going to put on tomorrow. Tomorrow being Tuesday, last Tuesday for you guys. So as you're listening to this Sunday night, Monday morning, come get some.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show.
Where I regret more errors? I regret the error.
No, not where I talk about free discount candy day, which is December 26th, where I was able to pick up quite a lot of stuff for half price. I'm good at finding cheap things. No, it's Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
If you, those of you who are anti-maskers can skip this next section, but damn, what's wrong with you people? I get you don't want to wear a mask, but you know, you don't got to be glaring at me or my wife because I'm wearing a mask and you aren't. You know, what I love is like when I'm these people, they stare at you like you're walking around with your Schwanstuckel hanging out.
I'd Meanwhile, they're the ones whose noses have slipped out of their bra or they're just not wearing a bra, to use a line from MASH.
You know, and what I do is I got my Darth Vader dark glasses on, mostly because being diabetic, sunshine and eyeballs don't really go together. It just wears them out faster. So I'm always usually wearing sunglasses. So I have my mask on, my glasses, and they give me the glare and I just look at them and go, you know, but judging by some of the rat bastard, crazy mother blasted lovers on news today, holy cow, people are getting violent about it. It's like, dudes, chill the fuck out. You know, I mean, one store we went to up in No Mask, Minnesota, where, by the way, the virus is running rampant now. It's like, you must wear a mask coming to the store. And then the next thing is, we understand if you choose not to wear a mask, it's probably because you have a medical condition. The U.S. Medical Disability Act and the United States Constitution says that you don't have to wear a mask and we're not allowed to ask, which isn't true.
That's not
but,
true.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, what they're doing is they're giving you a reason not to wear a mask. And, you know, sure enough, you see these old chicken steaks. Chicken steak means anybody older than me. And I'm 55, you know, not wearing a mask. And you're like, yeah, you know, this virus tends to weed out the super young and the super old. So go for it. But just keep your glares to yourself, people. Don't make me have to say this again. That's pretty much all I'm freaking on. What's your freaking on, Corey?
Let's see. Brian Hibbs on his website, he hasn't done a new Tilting at Windmills in forever, but he did have his annual sales information up on his site. And his shops did not do that great with the whole COVID thing. He's in San Francisco, which for a while was almost ground central for COVID. So they've had lots of lockdowns. Let's see here. He posted that for over the whole year, his sales were down a staggering 32.59% in income. And in May itself, he had a 70% in revenue drop. He also talks about how DC pretty much decided to give up on comic shops. Now, he's had a kind of a Brian Hibbs, if you read him long enough, he hates all distribution. He's not a big fan of Diamond. He doesn't like what DC did to try to break away from Diamond. He's the guy who started the lawsuit against Marvel and Image and everybody with their late books. And but he talks about how DC pretty much just dropped off the face of the earth when it came to him being able to sell stuff. I'm going to get the exact. And the other thing he notes that I think is the most telling. Retail talk. As a percentage of wholesale cost on my weekly invoice, I paid the following in shipping costs to these wholesalers in 2020. Hatchet Books, zero. HarperCollins, zero. Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, 0. McMillan, 0. Penguin Random House, 0. Scholastic, 0. Simon & Schuster, 0. Ingram, which has books and magazines, 0.7%. Lunar Distribution, 3.8%. Diamond Comics, 9.7%. I think this is a genuine problem for the last two companies. Some of these companies, like Scholastic, with a minimum order of a paltry 10 books, are for sure losing money on shipping their product. I was just explaining to someone, some of that is DC moving away from Diamond, so we fell out of the 100-weight shipping category many weeks.
I got a coda to this discussion.
Another thing that shows to me is if I were buying DC books, I wouldn't buy them from Lunar. I would buy just the books, and I'd get them from one of those other distributors that pays for the shipping. And that's always been a huge problem with comics. The shipping is passed on to the shops. I have a feeling that as time goes on, this is going to become more of a sore point with a lot of comic shops as they start seeing that book distributors are eating those costs. Joe, what is your coda?
Well, there's a couple things mentioned by comic retailers. One of them's not around. The other one was Eric down at Mind's Eye. And he was talking about just how tough it is to get terms with Diamond. You know, you got to have, and you even noticed it too, like when Christie had her story, the first couple of weeks have to be certified check. Then you have to do it for a certain amount of time. And, you know, when I took over Hot Comics, you know, we were with Cap City, and Cap City was like, yeah, I have 2 weeks, no problem. And then we inherited that because Cap sold to Diamond. When I did Crazy Comics, I had to do that, you know, certified check the first time. And then I just said, well, I just want to be able to COD check. I took a advice from Nick over at The Source and just said, just pay for it when you get it, because then you don't run the phenomena where, oh, I had a big week this week, and now 2 weeks later, I have a little tiny week. How am I supposed to pay for it? Because, you know, money just doesn't sit around, because a lot of times we don't even know what's coming until the week it ships. But, and I can't remember the name of the one guy, or even his store. He had that little, he converted the drugstore, and we went and visited the day we went out to Brian's shop out in Menominee. That was like one of the first shops you and I went to.
Yeah.
And then he just disappeared overnight. But he was talking about trying to get set up with Diamond. I had an interview all set up because I'd actually, when the store was closed, we talked a lot about setting up and how dealing with Diamond. He said it was just so hard to get terms. Nobody would call him back. There were so many forms. They wanted everything certified and jumping through hoops. And even with Eric down in Mind's Eye, same thing. He's like, just trying to get set up with these new guys. They don't work like real distributors. Case in point, the day I came back from vacation, and our good friend, late Mike Edmondson, got a hold of Coca-Cola, got me a cooler, and it was filled with Coke products. We'd been looking for a cooler to sell pop, you know, because we had the Rat Bastard and all that stuff. And Mike just called Pepsi, and Pepsi didn't get back to him. Coke got back to him first. They dropped off a cooler at no cost. And I would just buy from them. They'd drop it off, and I'd mail them a check. They'd mail me in a week. No credit checks, no hoops to jump through. I wonder if Diamond's just, I don't know if it's because they got burned, or they're working on, like you said, a razor thin margin, or they're almost like they're choking off any chance for a new comic shop to start and get going. Again, maybe they have, yeah, well, you know, we give these guys these books and then they disappear in a month type thing. I don't know. But yeah, being a comic shop is tough. And I can even attest to the end of Hot Comics when I made it known that, yeah, we're going to maybe set up a couple, like you were talking about, get book distributors, because I couldn't get Marvel. I couldn't get DC at the time, but I could get Dark Horse. I could get Image. I could get almost everybody else. and I could get them not as big a discount, but I could return them. So say, I'm going to pick on Witchblade because you said Witchblade earlier. Witchblade collected number one. Okay. Normally I'd buy it for whoever ordered it and maybe one for the shelf. Maybe two if it was a hot book. Witchblade at the time was hot, so maybe two. Or if I ordered it from this distributor, I could maybe, well, let's order five. Or hell, let's order 10. We'll make a kiosk of it. Maybe I'll sell them at 10% off. You know, the difference was, is instead of getting a 50% discount, I was only getting 35, maybe less, sometimes 25, but I could return them. And had I not decided that year of 2001 that I was looking to sell the comic shop, I would probably have done more with books because we had
TSR.
Thank you. TSR books. I had Star Trek pocket fiction. Marvel had books. And there were also other books we could have done. And they didn't, you know, they asked for credit, but they didn't like run me through the ringer because the first batch would come to me. Even when I dealt with Krauss Publishing and Comic Buyer's Guide, they just, you need 10, we'll send you 10. And then they, you know, every 3 months I'd send back the orders and a check for what billed it. It was just easy peasy, but man, Diamond just, maybe they're making it too tough. Maybe they're choking off their own distributing by, you know, just making it almost impossible for a store to start up. You know, and like, well, I said, this is just two different people.
If you read the stories, though, even Chuck Rosansky of Mile High Comics said he was into Diamond for over $1 million at one point. If Diamond is floating all these shops, they probably have to assume that if you are a new comic shop, at one point, they're going to have to float you. So they better make sure that you're a good credit risk. And that, you know, that's,
we see it both ways.
Not their business, but it became their business. So the comic distribution world is messed up.
Yeah. And it's just the way it sounds is just, you know, we tried to get a podcast going where, okay, Corey and I are going to set up a comic shop. And you just like, I don't see a future in running a comic store. And this is just one of the little pieces of the puzzle. It's like, you're just not going to get, I don't know, unless you come into it with some cash ready to float, it's just going to get tough for you.
Second thing I am freaking on, Tanya Roberts has died. Oh, I'm going to throw in a geeking. No, she didn't. Her publicist said out.
I was going to say something, but I knew you were going somewhere with this.
Her publicist sent out a release saying she died and then corrected it later. So Tanya Roberts is back, everybody. Hooray.
It's a Festivus miracle.
And the reason I bring her up, she is the woman who played Sheena, Queen of the Jungle.
Isn't that the one where the horse was painted as a zebra?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
The movie's pretty much unwatchable unless you want to watch Tanya Roberts wander around on screen in skimpy outfits for 90 minutes. And
do
back
I?
In the 80s, I had no problem with that.
No worries there.
It's kind of like the movie The Perils of Gwendolyn in the Land of the Yik Yak.
Not the Yik Yak.
And if you look up the it's Tawny Katayan. And pretty much the women in it are, it was a Indiana Jones knockoff, except pretty much all the women were topless through the whole movie.
Hmm.
Oh, 80s. They don't make movies like that anymore, Joe. Gosh, I kind of wonder why. Comic-wise, I'm not really freaking on much of anything. Everything's kind of in kind of a limbo. DC, I guess, shipped some of the first Future State books to shops early. And the end of Death Metal got shipped to some shops early. And they, of course, put them out on sale because who's going to stop them?
Yeah.
So, Joe, what are you geeking on?
Well, this was kind of a geeking at first, but now it's not really. Because we apparently are getting a 1% raise at the federal government. But remember that sneaky tax crap that Trump pulled where they weren't going to collect Social Security and all that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to collect it. They're going to collect it.
What it was, the business could say that they would forego it, but you would still have to pay it at a later date. Neither of the companies I worked for fell for that.
Yeah, well, being federal government, I didn't have a choice. So we're going to be paying it back. So bastards. Anyways, so much for the raise. But, you know, I kind of figured they'd pull that shit out. I got the money sitting in the bank, but, you know, whatever. If it wasn't, I could go out and buy comic books. So I haven't read much either. I haven't watched much. My wife and I are trying to figure out when we're going to watch Wonder Woman. I've been hearing mixed praises for it. You either hate it or love it or meh. My go-to guy, go-to geek, Jason Matheson, who has his own show there. He hated it. Absolutely hated it. He said they just didn't have any. You saw Wonder Woman briefly. They didn't do any. They should have done a homage to the Wonder Woman from the 80s. Even if they just spun around or something. It was supposed to take place in the 80s, but you didn't do anything in the 80s. Unlike the Captain Marvel movie, which was very much a period piece, or Stranger Things. You know, it's like, if you're going to make it in the 80s, you should probably put some 80s shit in it, you know. But he also reviewed Soul, which he said isn't necessarily a kid Pixar movie, but he had nothing but praise for that. So I'm also I'm pretty pleased as punched. I've got both those because now, I've got more streaming services and I know what to do with it. And what was the next one coming up? Wasn't Discovery doing one?
Yeah, Discovery has their streaming service. And if you watch Food Network, oh my God, every commercial break they'd show an ad for it three separate times.
Yeah. Well, that's like when we used to watch wrestling.
They watch the Food Network the same way I watch Perils of Gwendolyn in the Land of the Yik Yak.
Oh, I love Yik Yak. Anyways, I did see a lot of people. Oh, my God. Jodie Whittaker is quitting after 3 years of being Doctor Who. And I'm like, yeah, like every modern one has except Eccleston. And the only reason we don't think of Tennant that way, because he did his 3 years and then did a bunch of specials. Quarterly specials until they were done. So even if she is going to stay on, or she's going to quit, because right now everybody's...
Well, the BBC says we have no announcement.
Yeah. Three seems to be the magic number for Doctor Who. You know, if that's the way it's going to be. I mean, we always think about Tom Baker did, 7 years?
Yeah.
That was an anomaly, folks. Everybody else did three and moved on. Except Sylvester, I think Colin Baker got shut out, and I don't know how long Sylvester McCoy lasted. So again, and of course, the Eighth Doctor. What was his name? Patrick.
I don't know.
I know. I haven't seen
any of them.
No, he only did the one TV movie.
Oh.
And then he did the little piece before the War Doctor, which I thought was great to bring him back. But so yeah. I mean, whether she quits or not, I've been watching a few of the series, and I've enjoyed it so far. But my wife saw me watching Doctor Who, and she's like, well, why don't we just start over? So we started over. We're in season one of David Tennant.
Oh,
so
okay.
I did read, I read these comics that I pick up, and we've laughed about Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose, because I emailed Corey his favorite panel from the entire series. Tell him, Cor!
Your vagina is haunted.
Now, I was reading, it's Jim Ballant.
Jim Ballant.
And, of course, his big thing was he did Catwoman, who apparently at the time grew two huge melons on her chest.
And of course, he dresses up as Batman at conventions.
So I got to watch it now because I'm going to
We have got to get him at a convention near here.
Oh, yeah.
His the way he talks about conventions, he is so much fun.
I'll mention it when I see some of the convention guys. But I happen to have a couple copies, and I opened them up, and I was reading them. And, again, if you're offended by big boobs, what, that's your hang-up. But, damn, if these aren't some solid horror stories. I mean, just, if they let Doctor Strange go, I could see Doctor Strange floating around these universes. Because, man, you're just, you don't know where the music's going. I read issue 88. And again, I have no idea who these characters are, so I'm assuming the harsh-looking chick on the cover is the bad guy. And by the end of it, she not. But boy, they did some magic that I was like, wow, this is great stuff. And then, of course, I read 53, and 53 was a great concept. Basically, these ghosts came back, and they decided when they died, they were donors, and they want their parts back. And, of course, it was Lips and the aforementioned haunted vagina, and I'm reading this and I'm like, okay, yeah, if you get past the all the women obviously have been melanized. I shouldn't say that because I think Willie Melon's listening to our podcast again. He'll think we're talking about him. Anyways, this is some solid horror stuff. So if you've never, and I mean ever, read this, I mean they're way past issue 100 now. You might want to see if you can't pick up some of these things and check them out, because I was suitably impressed, whereas before I was just like, yeah, we got some big melons on that baby, and kind of dismissed it as, you know, one of the bad girl books. But no, it's pretty solid horror. Other than that, that's pretty much it for me for geeking. Like I said, I've just been a lot of people traveling at work, so I was working full days, 10-hour days, which I haven't done in a long time. But boy, the numbers are dropping. The holiday's over, and I just pray we don't have that wave of COVID that everybody's worried about. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. Who knows? Maybe in the next instead of Hip Watch, we'll have COVID Watch.
Well, my geeking, we may not for me.
Uh-oh.
I work at a long-term care facility. We are next in line for the COVID vaccine. So I should be able to get it within the next few weeks.
They're still arguing about whether or not we qualify for that, even though we're in the front lines. But we're not. We're definitely not in it like you are. So maybe it would. I mean, not saying we don't need it, but maybe it's not something we don't need to be first in line.
And, of course, we have some of the chowderheads at work. Well, I don't know if I want to get it. You know, I don't believe in vaccines.
They got microchips in those things, you know.
The one that got me was, well, I don't know what's in it. And I said, and they were eating a Pop-Tart. And I said, tell me what's in a Pop-Tart, and I'll believe you.
Chris Rock had a great quote talking to Gail from CBS. You know, when I take a Tylenol, I don't know what's in it. All I know is my headache goes away.
And then when they were done explaining why they weren't going to get it, and I said, okay, can I have yours? Give me all the vaccines, baby. I'll take them all.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Pop-Tarts.
Well, that too.
Actually, I'm trying to get a hold of my doctor because I just realized I want to get the shingles vaccine. Mostly because one of our friends online has been suffering with the shingles for the last 6 months?
For a while, it's VP Jen from PW Insider.
Yeah,
she's a big wrestling fan. I had shingles back in the late 90s.
And I had a bout with it a couple of years ago. It was just, I just had this nonstop headache with this little tiny pimply area on my head. And as soon as I went in, the doctor said, listen, something's up. I haven't had a relief from this headache in a week. And he looked at my head, oh, you got shingles. We'll test for it. Back then, and this had to have been when I was like 49. First of all, they won't give you it if you're not 50. And second, it was a live virus vaccine, which means I would have had to gone off my rheumatoid meds for like a month before I could take the vaccine. And you know what happens when I go off my rheumatoid meds? Ouch. The hand starts creaking, the hip, well, not the hips, but the knees, the elbows. Now they have a, for lack of a better word, dead vaccine. You know, just enough to trigger the immune response they need, but it's not the actual vaccine or not the actual virus. So I can get it now without having to worry about my rheumatoid. That's your medical moment.
Comic-wise, I read the entire run of the Doctor Doom comic, and if you haven't read it, I really liked it.
Yeah, that's one I hate to see go. I haven't read the last issue, so if you got spoilers, I'll just.
I won't give any spoilers. I will just say that it is an examination of Doctor Doom. It almost forgets the whole when he came back from Secret Wars, he was a good guy thing. And it just picks up. The story is that they are creating a black hole, a mini black hole in the moon to handle toxic waste. And Doom is on record, because Richards created it, that there must be something wrong with it. Well, all of a sudden, a bunch of terrorists show up on the moon and then let various missiles are fired at it to destroy the base, killing 3,000 people. But Dr. Doom has nothing to do with it and doesn't know what happened. And it examines his reaction to it. And it's a 10-issue series. Could have gone longer. It's written by Christopher Cantwell and drawn by Salvador La Roca, who his art is incredibly different from what I'm used to. When I think Salvador La Roca, I think of his stuff, especially on Extreme X-Men with Chris Claremont, where they reproduced it from the pencils. But his art style has changed. I like it a lot more now. It's got very detailed backgrounds, and the characters are a little more cartoony. So he's not, you know, filling the pages with shade and making the characters a little more pleasing to the eye rather than, boy, everything's being drawn as if it's midnight. Another book that I read was the final issue of Richie Rich. Joe, when we went down to Nerdin' Out, in their quarter bin or dollar bin or whatever it was they had, and it said on the cover, last issue of Richie Rich. But when you read the comic and you read the letters page, no mention of it being the last issue. It was just a kind of a standard Richie Rich story, and the letters page were people, you know, kids writing in and editorial writing them back as Richie. So, you know, very cute and fun and aimed at kids. And no mention anywhere inside the comic that it's the last issue. So I wonder if it was very much a last-minute thing. Although, boy, do they advertise their new Kids on the Block comics coming out from Harvey.
Which I believe our old employee, Casey, I think she got a whole set of those, didn't she? There were something if you got them, Casey.
Yeah, there was the New Kids on the Block, and then what were the other boy bands of the 90s? There was another one I remember being hot in the... Oh, the Backstreet Boys. Oh, she may have been more Backstreet Boys than New Kids.
No, it was New Kids, because I remember they had the one book that came out from Revolutionary, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't, you know, they were always unauthorized. Well, when Revolutionary screwed up, they used the trademark logo.
Yes.
And that's what got them shut down. And then everybody was like, oh, my God, we got to grab these because they're very collectible.
And that whole company was very weird. And the publisher died in a strange accident. His father said that he was killed by somebody in the record industry. And there was a documentary on YouTube years ago that I watched about how, you know, this guy was basically, he was just kind of a, you know, the guy who would set up outside of concerts and sell bootleg T-shirts.
Mm.
And he knew some people who drew comics. So I was like, well, why don't we do the same sort of thing with comics? He didn't think any sort of copyright stuff would happen. And all of a sudden, copyright just pounced on him. But those books that he created are still being printed here and there by small companies, not distributed by Diamond.
Hmm.
I think there was a Personality Comics that reprinted most of them. And I I saw him recently in one of the, you know, non-comic shops that we went to. And it's like, oh, that's the old Rock and Roll Comics with new covers. Weird. And then the last thing I am geeking on, you know how much I love the Marvel Unlimited.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how I said, oh, we're never going to get reprints of War is Hell. Well, we got it in the Marvel Universe by Chris Claremont. Then it was reprinted in the Marvel Horror Lives Again. Now they're available on Marvel Unlimited, as is It the Living Colossus. I had never read It the Living Colossus. Joe, tell the people about It the Living Colossus.
It was a big statue. And you know, my first exposure of It, the Living Colossus, was a giant foot that the Hulk was fighting. I believe it was Herb Trimpe art. Didn't Tony Isabella create him?
Tony Isabella created it.
Yeah.
It was drawn by Dick Ayers. And oh my God, is it terrible.
Oh no.
It is just awful. What it is, it's this special effects guy has created a robot for a movie. And then he's hit by a car and is paralyzed from either the neck down or the waist down, depending on the issue. And he is able to project his consciousness into the special effect robot an hour at a time. And it's really cool. What Tony Isabella was trying to do was to create a kaiju comic. Basically, each issue is It the Living Colossus fights some other big monster. Dick Ayers, I've seen Dick Ayers' art. Dick Ayers could not possibly have given less of a shit about drawing this book. Because it is sloppy. It's not well done. It's incredibly clear that the inker is trying to salvage the pages, but he just can't. Oh, it's awful. It's just awful. And it's interesting because I'd never read it before. And people talk about how Brother Voodoo's terrible. Brother Voodoo's not terrible. It's kind of a mediocre 70s comic with voodoo stories by somebody who knows nothing at all about voodoo.
Yeah.
The Living Colossus is terrible. It's barely readable dreck. And if it was published by anybody other than Marvel, it would have vanished off the face of the earth and no one. It's one of those where if you dropped it in a pond, it wouldn't even make ripples. That's how mediocre and unmemorable it is. So those are kind of fun to read in a weird, twisted way. It's kind of like how all the old Skyward 70s black and white horror mags are now public domain. So you could go to the Internet Archive or Comic Book Plus, places like that, and download and read them. And most of those, you know, you'd get a few news stories by people who haven't done comics before or since. But the main thing that they did with Skywald in the 70s, they were competing with Marvel's black and white mags and the Warren black and white mags. So they would take 50 stories, because the publisher, Myron Fass, had published horror comics in the 50s, and just add blood and gore to the pages. It the Living Colossus isn't that bad, but boy, it's bad. Believe
now,
it or
not. I do have one thing. Actually, I got one thing, Corey. Have you joined the David Mruse Memorial Minnesota Comic Book and Cartooning?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Shared History Society. This is a Facebook page, and I'm going to tell you, just go Facebook, David M-R-U-Z, and Joel Thingvall, somebody who we really got to get on this podcast soon. He passed away. We mentioned it in a podcast, and Joel has basically taken upon himself to post history about Minnesota comic shops in depth. His specialty, of course, is, you know, 70s, 60s, the first conventions that predate the Comic-Con, the ones leading up to the formation of the MCBA. And I posted the first of what I hope to be a few links, where the Solo Joe number 3 and 4, the secret origin of Hot Comics, you know, where Pat and I got together. And a lot of the shops that Joel talks about are places that Pat and I cut our teeth on. And, you know, we give our unique stuff about it between P&J Comics. And then by the time we get to Solo Joe 4, which is part two of the Secret Origins, it's more talking about Hot Comics. And then there's somebody put some stuff from Dan Wiesenmeyer's page, who we've had on. And people have been asking, like, who owns the stores now? And, of course, I mentioned that I've been trying to interview the current owner for ages. And Brian, of course, has his place out in Menominee. So it's just been a joy to read. It's so interesting, especially if you're in the Twin Cities area and you just want to know, hey, where did these stories come from? I'd love to get a hold of guys like Brent Moore, get the Comic Archives in there. Joel's posted a couple articles, a lot of news articles that he's archived about Granite City. He also did something that totally went by my radar, or maybe it did. In 2008, we might have mentioned it, but the University of Minnesota got a major collection of comic books. The University of Minnesota Elmer Anderson Library took custody of 130 long boxes, 250 each, with stuff from, I'm trying to find the guy who posted it, but you can go online and check, and they interviewed the persons at the library and what they were going to do with it. And I imagine by now you could probably go to the library and check out some of this stuff. There's even quotes from Nick Post, links to the, well, at the time was the Comic Book Association. So this is a really fun thing, and especially if you happen to be a local person and you got some stuff, because I know I've got tons of stuff archived. I put my links there that I have from my Hot Comics pictures and the different flyers and things. And I'm sure, Corey, if you have anything pertinent to add, Greg Ketter's been on there a couple times. They've talked about, he did a history of the Comic College Nostalgia Zone, how they were Comic City originally and what happened there and how they broke into two stores, one store being old, one store new, how they got booted out of their location because they rising property rates. I think, did they sell their property or did the...
Yes.
Yeah, he so they sold, made some cash
he
on
owned
it.
That whole block.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, he owned the whole block and sold it, and that's when he moved to the current location. And I would love to get the details on this because he was going to close Dreamhaven down.
Hold on, I'm not talking Dreamhaven. I'm talking Comic College.
Oh.
Dreamhaven. Well, yeah, Greg Ketter's on there too with Dreamhaven because he brought up the point. Joel made the comment that Big Brain Comics was much missed when they closed, was the first store in town to try to, how would you say, sell comics as books. And then Greg said, I was actually the first with Dreamhaven in that store that you were talking about. So, but yeah, when I don't know, I just thought, you know, maybe one of these days we should sit down with Greg and say, hey, let's give us a history. Because I didn't realize Ralph Johnson, who later was involved with the Comic Book College of Comic Book Knowledge, it's called Comic College. And he was involved with the early Twin City Comics that I bought my first comics from. I thought it was just Greg. No, apparently Ralph was around there too. And I got to talk to him about that because I didn't know that. So just a lot of fun. And for me, it's personally fun because they're talking about stuff when I just started buying comics, you know, in 77. There's been talk about Shinders, and I'm sure you got some good Shinders tales of the Shinders. But just a wonderful place to jump in. And again, it's open to public. Just type in David Mertz.
Mertz.
Mertz. Thank you. MRUZ is how he
yep,
has it.
Yep, MRUZ.
And just tag in and enjoy the fun. And I'm going to have to somehow, we got to get together and talk about it. Get an introduction for our link, because Joel actually sent me a note saying, you guys got to get your stuff in there because you're always talking about comic shops. Unfortunately, not in any type of way that you could look up. Well, in this episode, Corey talked about Shinders and Hot Comics and blah, blah, blah. So just start with episode one and work your way.
And go forward.
Go forward. We got one person doing that. Matter of fact, I think the one person was listening to the podcast and sent me a bunch of questions, and you know, he was asking like, where'd Brian go? And I said, the one link I'm missing is how, when Kristen decided to sell Hot Comics New Hope in Richfield, what attracted the current owner to do it? Because Kristen was always more of a business owner, whereas you and I are comic geeks, you know. So, but anyways, just a fun site. And I hope most areas have a Joel Thingball to do all that stuff.
And the last thing I want to point out, if you go to Amazon right now, you can buy the special edition of The Perils of Gwendolyn in the Land of the Yik Yak on Blu-ray with the American cut that doesn't have as much nudity included as a special bonus feature for $19.95. And the DVD, which only has the American cut, is $29.95. So do not buy the DVD unless you're worried that somebody will throw it in and think it's porn.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
None of the women have any shirts.
Oh, kind of like Skinamax in the.
Well, the director, Just Jakian. God, we're going into way too much detail on this horrible little movie. And I saw it in the theater when I was in college, because myself and a couple of friends, every crap movie that came out, we would go see. We went and saw this movie called Superstition, which was this Canadian horror movie that I swear was shot 16mm, blown up to 35. I have since read that it was filmed and sat at the developer for 3 years while they raised enough money to buy the film and distribute it. But Just Jakian, let's see what other movies he has been involved in as director. There's Emmanuel, the story of O from 1975. There's Lady Chatterton.
One I've heard of. Oh, two I've heard of. Uh-oh.
Yeah, and they were pretty much the movies that were, you know, shown for adults only. They wouldn't get an extra. Basically, they had too much nudity for R, but if you got slapped with an X rating, you were an X-rated movie, so they would be released without a rating. I remember Lady Chatterley's Lover was 1981. I remember the ads for that. It's too hot for R. Adults only. See this adaptation of the classic novel. And all I could think, you know, even in 81, I was going, I doubt there are a lot of people who are reading 19th century literature going, you know, I want to see a softcore movie made of this classic novel. It's like, I would love to see Nicholas Nickleby turn into a movie, but can you add boobs?
You know, now that The Great Gatsby is public domain, let's add some hardcore skin.
There you go. Great Gatsby, except none of the women have shirts.
Yep.
Directed by Just Jakian.
We're giving $1 million ideas away again.
Uh-oh. Sad news, everybody. Sad news.
Uh-oh.
Just Jakian is still alive. He is 80 years old, but he has not produced or directed or written a movie since 1984. So, I don't know. Something happened. Maybe he's not going to make movies anymore. But we may be able to draw him out with our idea of The Great Gatsby.
Now we're talking.
Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about Tony Katayan in a movie topless for 90 minutes.
We're sorry. We swear. Next week, nothing but comics.
No, next week, nothing but Tony Katayan topless for 180 minutes.
I can handle that.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most, Joe.
Corey, you got some good porn music queued up. Go ahead and hit it. Play my
Theme for the NWO.
Good enough for me. Play some music.
on, bitches.